Hey, okay, welcome back. This is our second session of Learning Revolbe, the great Musar leader of the last, maybe 15, 20 years ago, he passed away in Eretz Yisrael. We learned in Elul, the Yom Naram. I'd like to focus on Tefillah. He has a lot to talk about davening, and so we're going to do so. So the sheets that are going around, I hope there are enough. Let's just jump right in. There's like no great place to start, so I want to start in the middle, and then we're going to go back to the beginning. Let's start with a Rashi, just in terms of Tefillah. Tefillah is such a big, big topic, so let's dive right in. The bottom of the first sheet that you have on page Shin Mem Ches, on the very bottom is a line. It's a pasuk from Parshas Bereishis, V'chosia chasada, terem yeva aretz. All of the trees, before they had grown in the world, V'chol esef hasada terem yitzmach. And all of the greenery, the Esef Hasada, before it had sprouted, the Torah tells us this is the sixth day of creation that we're describing over here. Kilohim tirashem elokim al aretz va'adam ayin ala avodas adama. Because Hashem had not yet sent the rain, because there was no man yet to work the land. That's the Torah's description when Adam HaRishon lands, when he's created, so to speak. There, on day six, the Torah describes the trees had not sprouted and the greenery had not yet come up because man wasn't yet in existence and he was not there to work the land. Rashi asks, Adayin lo haya ba'aretz kishenigmara b'riyas ha'olam b'yom ha'shishi. It was not there yet. On the sixth day, it was not there, the greenery and the trees, kodim shenivra ha'adam. Before man was created, and the greenery had not sprouted. Ah, Rashi says, but if you know Chumash, you know that what was created on the third day, Torah already says, on the third day was all the greenery, all the herbage already was created on the third day. So why is the Torah then telling us that on the sixth day, before man was created, it hadn't yet sprouted? It did. It actually already was brought out on the third day. So Rashi asks, Uveshlishi shikasu vatotzei ha'aretz desha. That's the third day. So Rashi says, lo yotzu. It didn't actually come up out of the ground. Ela al pesach hakarka umdu ad yom hashishi. It was on the threshold. It was created, but it hadn't yet come up out of the earth until the sixth. That's what Rashi says. Vilama. So Hashem created all the trees and the greenery, and it was there on the cusp of the earth. It just hadn't come out yet till the sixth. Vilama kilo himptir, because Hashem hadn't sent the rain. Until the rain was going to be the final push, so to speak, for the greenery to come out, and it didn't come. Ukisheba Adam. So when Adam was created and he saw this, so to speak, brown earth, viyada shehem tzorecha olam, and he understood there was a need for the rain to bring the greenery up, says Rashi, hispalel aleihem. Adam davened for the rain, viyardu, it came, vitzamchu ha'ilonus v'had, and everything sprouted. It's Rashi and Chumash. This concept says every blessing.
Rivers,
Hishka
is gone. So,
a different question. Every blessing that Hashem has for us is there, what He wanted to have, what He wanted to send, but it was waiting for something. And what was it waiting for to bring down the bracha? It was waiting for Adam's tefillah to bring it. Everything was there, but it hadn't come up until there was an Adam who recognized the need for the rain and then davened for it. And when he davened for it, rains come and everything sprouts. This concept that Rashi starts us off right in the beginning of Chumash is a concept that the angle to get the bracha that Hashem wants for us is through tefillah. Chazal described this in many different ways. It's dvarim ha'omdim berumo shel olam. Tefillah is in the deepest recesses of the concepts of the world. One of the deepest va'adam mizalzim. And we don't pay attention to it. We don't recognize that the bracha in our life is waiting for tefillah to bring it down, because tefillah is hard. This is the Rashi that he quotes. But taking a step back before we get back to Revolba's words, tefillah we know is hard. It really is hard. Three major, it's worth just putting it out there why it's so hard so we could best address it. The three main reasons, the Ramchal, Rav Moshe Chaim Lutzato talks about this in his Masilas Yesharim, why tefillah is so hard. Number one, I mean, you know this. The words, we don't know what we're saying. It's hard to be passionate about things which we don't really fully understand. Number two, it's repetitive. I mean, this is why it's hard to concentrate. It's hard. We'll get to that. The words are hard. We don't really know what we're saying. What we do know that we're saying, we say it over and over. Shachris minchamar, shachris minchamar. I mean, literally. I mean, by the age of most of you sitting out here, you've said the Shemona Esrei how many thousands of times? It's hard. Hard to say the same things over and over again. And number three, probably most importantly, there's nobody on the other end who's giving us a response. So that we all know, if you're on a phone call with someone and you talk for, it's probably, you could do a study, 10 to 12 seconds, and you're going on and on and on, and you do not get a, really? If you don't get anything like that, I'm sure you could do a study on this. Is it 12 seconds, 15 seconds? After a certain amount of time, what are you then going to say?
Are you there?
Are you there? It's the most natural way. If I'm talking and I don't get anything back, and we have a phrase for people who don't do that, we say to them, they could talk to a wall. And we don't like talking to walls. When we feel like we are, we stop if we don't get a response. So tefillah asks of us to say things that we don't fully understand over and over and over and over again, and no response. That doesn't fit in any other experience that we have, which should be something meaningful. All three of those, if any one of those three would make it not meaningful, all three together make it very hard to be a meaningful experience. Those are just obvious reasons that we all have trouble with. I would add a fourth reason to what the Ramchal says, which is one of the great contradictions in all of Jewish life. Really, truly, one of the greatest contradictions. If tefillah really was this amazing thing, we should all be in a room by ourselves and concentrate and daven. And what did Chazal require of us to daven? A minyan, a tzibur. They wanted Berov Am Hadras Melech. They wanted a big tzibur. They wanted people to come together. They want us to praise the king together. They want the shul to be a center of community where Jews throughout the 2,000-year exile and in Eretz Yisrael would have a place. So we have this concept of the shul is going to be the base, Akneset. We're all going to gather together. Well, everybody knows, here's the reality. You don't see your buddies at work. You don't see them at all. Where do you see, where do we create community? We come to shul together. So in this great contradiction of come to shul and don't talk, because it's very important, we specifically bring everybody together. So, I mean, you all know how hard it is. You come in Shabbos morning, you see all your friends, like, I can't. So we try, I can't have this. But the reality is you're sitting in a room together with people you like and you don't regularly see. And Chazal told me to do that. So that makes it, you put all four of those things together and you have a very difficult recipe to have a meaningful experience when you do the same thing over and over again in a way that you don't really understand, getting no response, surrounded by your friends who will give you a response and will laugh at your jokes and share your good time together. That's pretty hard. That's pretty hard. And yet, Chazal say, Rashi and Chumash tells us, every bracha you want in life is waiting for you. It's waiting for you. And the way that Hashem set it up is, you got to ask. You have to daven for it to bring it down. And that creates the dynamic that we know and love. We're all familiar with this, obviously. This very great complication concept called tefillah. So what Rav Volbe talks about, which we'll hopefully learn a bunch of his words. He has many different pages on this. He says, I'm not going to talk about the Perush HaMilah. That's not the focus that he's going to have explaining the words. Those who want that, there are many wonderful Svarim. You can just look at an art school sitter, word at a time, write it in over your sitter to work on it. He wants words on the concept, the idea. So before we even get to the page that I handed out to you, he has an introduction to this introduction. I just want to talk out one or two comments of his outside. And that is as follows. Chazal spent a great deal of significance on firsts. Many different firsts. Firsts are always important. The first time the word appears in the Torah tells us a lot about the word. The first time you have a concept. The first is an important thing. We also talk about ends, but the haskalah is an important thing. We find that actually in yesterday's parsha, or Volbe quotes, when Avram goes to war with the four kings and the five kings to rescue his nephew Lot, he takes 318 men with him. And the Torah uses an interesting word for those men. The Torah calls them chanichav. Chanichav literally means his initiates or trainees. And so Rashi points out that the word chanoch or a chinuch always means when you bring something into its intended purpose, the beginning of training someone for its purpose, like a Chanukah sabayis, is I'm inaugurating the house for its purpose, or most importantly, chanoch lenar. When we do chinuch for a child, chinuch is not really translated correctly as education. It really means training. Training a child for whatever he or she needs to do in life. And Avraham had trainees. That was his goal. He was training them for life. So in that, Rav Alba says, so what's the first word? You know, I was actually just reading about this in terms of health. The first item of food that a person puts in their body in their day will then dictate the way their body relates almost the whole day in terms of the health of the gut and sugar levels and cravings. It's all based on the first food that a person eats. Spoiler alert, it's not scotch and donuts. It's not the best way to go if you want a strong approach the rest of the day. I'm not taking it. It's beautiful, thank you. It's not a great way to start your day from a health perspective.
Now
I'm telling you, it's a delicious way to start your day. It's not a healthy way to start your day. I do it myself all the time. Anyway, so what's the first word that a Jew utters?
Modeh.
When a Jew wakes up, Chazal, by the way, the way the Chazal taught, how should we wake up? His gabir ka'ari. You're supposed to jump out of bed like a lion, because that'll set up your whole day. Rolling over and hitting snooze will put your whole day on one course, and jumping out of bed will put your day on a different course. We all know what it's like, but that's the reality. If they're the first, what's the first word that should come to a Jew's mouth? The first word of consciousness, modeh. What is the word modeh? What does it mean? So there are two meanings for the word modeh. It means I thank and I acknowledge, which are very much related, but we use them in both ways, and they're both true. That's the opening thought that a Jew has, is to give thanks to Hashem. It's an amazing concept. We know this from the time that we're 3 years old. You wake up, modeh ani, whatever tune you like to sing that in. But that's a training ground, that the first flow of consciousness when we wake up is not, what emails did I miss? And the first flow, consciousness, modeh, I'm thankful. I woke up, I opened up my eyes, I'm here for another day, modeh. That's the first words on the lips of a Jew. The Ramban writes, by the way, that that's actually the purpose of all of creation. The Ramban is a beautiful line. We'll learn this from Mirta Shem at some point more in depth. Is a whole piece. Just one line from the Ramban. It says, the kavanas kol mitzvos, the kavan of all the purpose of all mitzvos, shena'amin belokeinu, that we believe in Hashem, v'no de'ilov, and we acknowledge Him, shehu boreinu. All the mitzvos is just an acknowledgement that Hashem created us. Ve'ein lanu tam acher b'yitzira. We have no other reason for all of creation, and Hashem has no other purpose in us, milvad zeh, other than His desire in us, is a better translation of that, milvad zeh, sheyeda ha'adam v'yoda le'elokav shibar, that we acknowledge and thank Him for creating us. That opening word sets us off on an entire approach of to give thanks and to be thankful. Okay, with all of that, so let's start, we'll see how far we can get in this opening paragraph, this concept of tefillah, of this idea of what we're trying to do to be able to connect in a way to this important idea. So let's start at the top of the page. B'shamenu midabrim al avodas Hashem. We talk about this idea of avodas Hashem is one of the key words that Chazal use in tefillah. It's an avoda, to serve Hashem. When we hear that phrase, avodas Hashem, humitzaltzel ba'azneinu, what rings in our ears, is ke'ilu HaKadosh Baruch Hu zakuk la'avodas Hashem. It's as if Hashem needs our avoda, He needs our service. Which he points out, because in general, when we say that a person needs someone's work or service, it means that I'm lacking something and I need someone else to come and finish something for me or fulfill that which I can't do. I need help. I need someone's avoda. So that's what sort of is in our head. We're familiar with that phrase. If I ask for avoda, he says, but that cannot be, skipping a line, Ach legavi HaKadosh Baruch Hu, anu muchrochem lehishtachrer legamri mitfisas. We have to free ourselves entirely of the idea that when we talk about being an Eved Hashem, or Avodas Hashem, that in some way, Hashem needs that from us. Hu Yisbarach Einu Zokuk La'avodasenu. He doesn't need us. There's nothing that he's missing that we have to fulfill for him. It's a totally different approach, and Mirtz Hashem will talk about that. He quotes the various psukim from Sefer Iyo. Like, well, what are you going to give him? Are you going to, if when you sin, you're not doing anything. When you do good, you can't provide him for anything. So he concludes the paragraph, Ma'ifo inyan avodas Hashem. So what then is this idea? We talk about it all the time. Ezu avoda shebalev. We're going to talk about this particularly in tefillah. What is the avoda? What does it mean we serve Hashem? Hevi omer avoda drusha la'atzmenu. That's a very important phrase which we'll have to get to. We'll talk about it, develop. That it's an avoda, it's for us. We have an obligation to serve Hashem, not because the master needs it, but because we need it. And that's an important understanding, which is straightforward, but we have to think about that when we talk about it's not, oh, I have to fulfill an obligation to him. He's fine. Ribbono Shel Olam is okay with or without us. We need it. And being an Eved Hashem and serving Hashem and working on all those things is because of things that we need. Now, let's do one more paragraph and add one more question to the idea of tefillah. La'atzmeinu. So he asks, okay, really for us? So he says, Achshav nishapech lekatzesh. This brings the question to the flip side of the equation. So from his perspective, it doesn't make sense. He doesn't need us. But to say that we need it, so he says, Anachnu tzrichem esa avoda. Like, would be like, this is what it would look like. Ani am those who are poor. Is palalu al parnasam. They're going to be davening for sustenance. Cholim, those who are sick, al refuah. Balei asakim, those who have businesses, al atzlacha. They should be successful. La'asois mitzvos, we do mitzvos, k'dei la'ashpi al hashkach al yonah. So things should be good for us. So what he's introducing is we can give a list of things that people daven for. Parnasa, we know they daven for good health, children, all of these things, success. He says, Biram, but here's the other fundamental question with tefillah, Gam begishazu, with this approach, yesh kushi pnima, a very fundamental question. These ideas, let's say a person is not well, they're poor, they have financial troubles, business, whatever it is, these things, anios, and machla, illness, choser hatzlacha, lack of success, ain't a mikrim, they're not by chance. Why is it that a person is in whatever situation that they're in? Who put them in that situation? So it says, believing Jews, so the Ribbono Shel Olam put that person in that situation. Whatever the situation is, not my chance. This is, for whatever reason, what situation Hashem put me in. Ela hashkocha ha'elyona heviyosanol. Hashem brought it to us. Umashe hashkocha gara aleinu. So whatever it was that Hashem put us in, so anachnu nevakesh mimenu yisbaruch shiibatul ritzonu mipnei ritzoneinu. So we're davening that I want something different than what he wanted for me. So you should change whatever you had in mind because I want something else. And that's how it works. Whatever thought process the Ribbono Shel Olam had is that you need this right now. So I don't want it. It doesn't work that way. It doesn't work. You know, you take your child to Sunday school. Look, a great example. I have a son in help. So he goes to school on Sunday, which he hates. He's never had that before. I love. So he says, I don't want to go to school today. I said, you have to go to school today. So he can say, please, please, please. See, that doesn't work that way. You have school today. You're going. So, like, what? This is what you need to do right now. Well, but he doesn't understand it. And I say to him, doesn't matter if you don't understand it. It's not about you understanding. It's about you doing what you need to do. So, okay, so Hashem sent to me whatever he sent me. And I say, I don't want this. And what? We think that that's going to work? Why? If that's what he gave you, that's what we do every day, right? I want this and I want that, and this is happening to me and I don't want it. So he says, okay, so if it's not because Hashem needs it, it's because I need it, but how does it work that I can then daven for something that the Hashgacha decided should be like this, and I say, no, thank you. I'd like it to be different, please. If I were running the world, I'd do a lot of things different if I were running the world, but I'm not. So why do I think that I could change his mind? And with that, we'll leave you on a cliffhanger, is what we'll start with, Mirtz Hashem, next week, as to, so what are we doing, given what we have here is words that we have difficulty understanding, that we repeat over and over again, that we get no response to, in a social environment, which makes it even more difficult to be able to do so, that's clearly not for Hashem, but it must be for me, and somehow I think I can change whatever was decreed is what's best for me, and I decide I want something else. How exactly does this work, and why is this Dvarim HaOmdim Berumo Shel Olam, one of the most deep secrets of the world? that we need to connect to Mirtz Hashem next week, we will continue our journey.